Before we get started, I want to just give a particular shout out of thanks, not only to Zamira, but to our entire dedicated program team at the OU Israel Center, who have worked around the clock to make sure that that basically we continue to run dozens of programs every single week, dozens of shiurim programs, reaching hundreds and thousands of neshamot every single week. So I owe a huge debt of gratitude to our entire team that that enables us to do that. So thank you, Zamira, and everybody else on our team. I also want to thank, echo Zamira's thanks to our dear friends, the Brockfield family, whose sweet friendship and continued generous support has enabled these Rosh Chodesh seminars and enables them to continue from month to month. So we really, really thank the Brockfields. And we, of course, dedicate our limud this morning as in the schut of a continued aliyat neshama from Marat Chaya Sasha, Bat Rav Yosef Hillel, Aleha Shalom. So before we begin, our topic this morning is Purim behind the mask. And so before we begin, I just need a second to get ready for this topic and get in costume a little bit. And what we're going to be discussing this morning is, of course, a custom we're all familiar with, a custom that's associated with Purim, and that is the custom to wear a mask or disguise ourselves on Purim. And of course, the most famous explanation for this custom is the fact that the story of Purim is called Megillat Esther, which means to reveal that which is hidden. And of course, we know that in the story of Esther, Esther Amalka conceals her identity, hides her identity in order to enable herself to take on the role of going into, entering into the Malchut, of becoming the queen of Persia. And ultimately that selfless act of disguising herself, concealing her identity, ultimately is the conduit to the salvation of the Jewish people. It's interesting, we know that another thing that's concealed in the entire story of the Megillah is, of course, Hashem's name does not appear at all in the Megillah. And that, of course, we know that Hashem, any miracle that occurs in the world, anything that exists in the world, any occurrence in our lives, ultimately, Kadosh Baruch Hu is there behind the scenes. So perhaps the idea of being in disguise or concealing oneself is linked to these two ideas. But as we're going to see together this morning, there's actually a lot more going on behind the scenes. And in order for us to get to the bottom of why we wear our costumes and masks on Purim, we're going to go and explore Purim behind the mask. All right, so we're going to start with text number two. The very beginning of the Megillah, we know that what's the opening scene of Megillat Esther? That Ahasuerus is putting on this royal banquet, a banquet where he invites all the constituents of his entire kingdom to participate in his banquet. And how does Ahasuerus reveal himself? How does he appear at the banquet? He invites everyone, Barotot Osher Kvo Machuteo. He invites the entire kingdom to see the splendor and the wealth of his majesty, okay? And ultimately, what is he wearing when he comes to that? The banquet, Chor Karpasu Tchev Dachuz B'chav Libutz, V'argaman Agbilei Chesev Amud Eshesh, V'itot Zahav V'chesev Aritzpat B'har V'shesh V'dar V'sachara. He comes adorned in these elaborate garments, and he serves the meal on these elaborate vessels. Now, it's very interesting. If we take a look, let's go back to text number one. In Parsha Tetzaveh, when the Torah introduces us to the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, the Torah tells us, "Ve'ela begadim asher yasu choshem ve'efor mi'il chtanet tashbeitz matznefet vavnet v'asu b'dei kol she'aron achicha u'vanav l'chanoli." Okay, these are the begadim that the Kohanim are going to wear, and what are the materials that they're made of? V'hem yichlu et hazahav et hachelet et argaman et hatolash hashani et hashesh. Okay. It's the same materials that are used to describe the royal garments, the glorious garments that Ahasuerus wears to his banquet. And our Chazal and the Gemara and Megillah jump right all over this. And this is text number three here. Barotot Osher Kvo Malchuto Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina Melamed Shalavesh Bigdei Kehuna. What does this come to teach us? That Ahasuerus was wearing the Bigdei Kehuna when he came to the banquet. Listen to this idea. Ahasuerus's first wife, Vashti, right? Vashti was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. So Achashverosh inherits the throne by marrying into the royal family of Babylonia. And the royal family of Babylonia, of course, were the ones responsible for the conquest of Yerushalayim. And Achashverosh comes to the royal banquet, says our Chazal, and shows off that very conquest. He comes enrobed in the vestments of the Kohen Gadol, the spoils of that conquest, and he serves the meal. The elaborate feast is served on the very vessels, the elaborate vessels from the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so this, however, is not the last time that we see the Big Day Kahuna in the story, the royal garments, these majestic garments in the story of Megillat Esther. Let's fast forward for a moment towards the end of the Megillah, after Mordechai has been revealed for having saved the king, having spoiled the plot to threaten the king's life, and Mordechai ultimately is paraded through the streets. And the Megillah tells us, Mordechai yatsam lifnei ha-melech, v'vush ma'chutz, tcheret v'chor v'ateret zahav g'dola, v'tachri putz v'agaman, v'ha'ir shishan zahav v'samichal. Mordechai is paraded through the streets in the very same garments that Achashverosh comes to the banquet in. At first glance, it seems like a beautiful idea. There's an incredible tikkun that's happening. Not only have the Jewish people been saved, and not only has Mordechai been recognized for his role in protecting the king, and ultimately his role in the backstory of the salvation of the Jewish people as well, Mordechai is paraded to the streets in those royal garments. It's a restoration of Kavod HaTorah. Mordechai the Gadol Ador is paraded in those royal garments. Except there's one very big problem with it. What's a very big problem? In the very beginning of the Megillah, when we're introduced to Mordechai for the first time, the Megillah tells us that Mordechai is the Ish Yemini. Mordechai is a Benjaminite. So on one hand, Mordechai being paraded to the streets, wearing those same illustrious, elaborate garments that Achashverosh defiled by wearing them at his banquet. On one hand, it looks like it's a total tikkun. The Gadol Ador is wearing those same garments. It's Malam Mikodesh. We're bringing them back to something sacred. However, Mordechai is not a Kohen. How could it be, if Mordechai is the Gadol Ador, how could it be that he allows himself to be paraded through the streets wearing those same Big Day Kahuna? We're going to come back to that. Now, if we take a look in our pasuk that we just looked at, Mordechai yatsa milifnei hamelech b'lush machut. Mordechai went before the king in the royal garments. Now, it's very interesting. It doesn't say milifnei hamelech Achashverosh. Rather, it says milifnei hamelech. And our Chazal in the Medrash Rabbah tell us something very interesting. Rabbi Yudim v'Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, kol makom Amar Rabbi Yudim v'Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, kol makom shen Amar b'Megillah zo l'melech Achashverosh, b'melech Achashverosh ha-katu medaber. Any time in the Megillah where the word hamelech is followed by the name Achashverosh, we know that the verse is speaking about whom? Achashverosh, the king. Okay? V'chol makom shen Amar l'melech stam, Meshamesh Koresh V'chol. And any time that the word Hamelech appears alone as just the word Hamelech without being followed by the word Achashverosh, it could be read as a double entendre, says our Seir Chazal in the Medrash. It could be read either to referring to Melech Achashverosh, or it could be referring to whom? Hamelech Melechei Melechim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate king. So here, Mordechai yatsa milifnei hamelech bilvush machut, we could read this pasuk that as Mordechai is appearing before or going from before the king being Achashverosh in the royal garment, or we could read it that Mordechai is going out before God in those royal garments. Okay, and we're going to come back to this idea in terms of several verses that we're going to see in the story where the word hamelech is specifically not followed by the name Achashverosh, and it's going to be the key to understanding everything we're trying to get to, perhaps, this morning. Okay, so now let's just review for a second. We said that Achashverosh, the Megillah begins with Achashverosh disguising himself, so to speak, wearing those royal garments, the royal garments not of the Malchus of Bavel, but of Shushan, but rather the Malchus of the Kahuna. That Achashverosh comes to the royal banquet wearing the big day Kahuna. And we see as a tikkun later on in the story that Mordechai is paraded through the streets wearing the same bigadim. But we asked a very important question. How could it be? On one end, it's a beautiful idea that there's a great tikkun going on, a restoration of Kavod HaTorah. But how could it be that Mordechai, who's not a Kohen, allows himself to wear the big day Kahuna? Okay. But this is not the last time we see the big day Kahuna in our story. And get ready to have your head spin a little bit, okay? We know that ultimately Esther Malka decides through Mordechai's urging to plead her case, and plead the case of the Jewish people before Achashverosh. And she has a plan that she's going to invite Achashverosh and Haman to this banquet. And the Megillah tells us, this is the next text, Vayomer HaMelech LeEsther Gam Bayom HaSheni B'Mishnah HaYayin. And the HaMelech, once again, doesn't say HaMelech Achashverosh, Vayomer HaMelech LeEsther, the Melech. And as our Chazal taught us in the last text, we could read this pasuk in either of two ways, that it could be simply Achashverosh making this promise to Esther, or it could be the ultimate king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, making this promise to Esther. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Vayomer HaMelech LeEsther Gam Bayom HaSheni B'Mishteh HaYayin. And the king, okay, said to Esther once again at the second banquet, once again when they're sitting at the banquet of wine, Ma She'elatech Esther HaMelkah V'tinaten Lach U'ma Bakashatech An Chatzi HaMelchut V'Teyas. Anything you ask for, anything you desire, okay, up to half the kingdom shall be yours, says the king to Esther. Okay? And we're going to come back to this idea. Once again, it's the idea of HaMelech. What is the double entendre teaching us in this pasuk? We're going to come back to this idea in a moment. And I think to understand all this, we need to actually look at a powerful teaching in the Tikkuni HaZohar. Okay? And the Tikkuni HaZohar teaches us, Purim it's kariyat al-shem Yom HaKippurim. Purim's name is connected to the name for Yom Kippur. Okay? Yom Kippur, the name Yom Kippurim, say our Chazal and say the mystics, means that Yom Kippur is a day, Kippurim. It's a day like Purim. There is some mystical connection between these two days of Purim and Yom Kippur. So why is that important? Get ready to have our heads spin a little bit, okay? We said that Mordechai wore the royal garments, and that those royal garments were the big day kahuna, were the bigadim that the Kohen Gadol wore, okay? But get ready for this one. This, in the Megillah, as Esther is preparing herself to have the courage to invite the king and Haman to the banquet she's going to throw for them, listen to what the pasuk tells us. Wait a minute. Esther puts on the royal garments. The Ta'amo b'chatzer Beit HaMelech HaPnimit. Okay? Nochach Beit HaMelech. The HaMelech Yoshev HaKisei Malchuto Beit HaMachut Nochach Petach HaBayit. Wait a minute. Nowhere in these psukim is the word, and the name HaMelech appears a few times. Nowhere in this pasuk, sorry, where the name HaMelech appears a few times, is that name HaMelech followed by the name Achashverosh, which means that there's a double entendre, if we accept what the Chazal taught us earlier, that there's a double entendre that's meant to be learned from this pasuk. That Esther is not only, as she dons those royal garments, she's not only standing in the inner chamber, facing the inner chamber of HaMelech Achashverosh, but metaphysically, spiritually, there's something deeper going on. And listen to what's going on. Okay, and this is all based on the Tikkuni Zohar that we saw a snippet of from above a moment ago. Esther puts on those same royal garments, the Big Day Kahuna, Esther dons the bidei kahuna, and she goes to plead before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of the Jewish people, in the same way that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes to plea in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on behalf of all Klal Yisrael, the salvation of all Klal Yisrael. So too Esther, metaphysically, emotionally, spiritually, prepares herself to go in to the proverbial inner chamber of the king, to go to herself spiritually, to the headspace, as if she's standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and she dons those same Bigdei Kahuna to plea her case on behalf of Klal Yisrael before the ultimate Melech, the Melech Malchei Melachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Esther's Yom Kippur moment. Purim is intrinsically bound and connected to Yom Kippur, because the very salvation of Purim, okay, comes about through Esther courageously donning those garments, disguising herself, putting on a series of garments of outfits that seemingly is completely inappropriate for her to don. And in so doing, the Yeshua and the salvation of Purim comes into the world. Just as the Kohen Gadol dons specific clothes, okay, in order to bring the Yeshuot into the world for all of Klal Yisrael one day a year on Yom Kippur, so too at this in the story of Purim, which is intrinsically bound, Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur is a day like Purim, says the Tikkuni Zohar, so too Esther Amalka puts on those same garments that seemingly are completely inappropriate for her to disguise herself in, okay, in order to plead her case before the Melech Malchei Melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to bring the Yeshua to the Jewish people. Okay. So we see encrypted in the very story of the Megillah this beautiful idea that on one hand, Mordechai wears the royal garments and dresses himself up in clothing that he wouldn't normally wear in order to represent the Yeshua that came for the Jewish people and a restoration of Kavod HaTorah. We also see Esther donning the same garments that are completely inappropriate for her to wear in order to lobby on behalf of the Jewish people and be that conduit to bring the Yeshua to the Jewish people. So in each of these scenarios, we are being introduced to one aspect of how when we don, perhaps what we're meant to have in mind, why we don clothing on Purim that might be out of the ordinary for us. In so doing, it represents recalling that restoration of Kavod HaTorah, that Mordechai clothed himself in clothing that was perhaps inappropriate or unfamiliar or uncomfortable for him to wear in order to restore that Kavod HaTorah, and Esther donning clothing that was inappropriate or uncomfortable for her to wear in order to bring Yeshuot for all of Klal Yisrael. And so with encrypted within the story of the Megillah, we have two fascinating, perhaps, roots for the custom of us dressing up in costume on Purim. By the way, there's more going on here, and we're going to come back to that. But I want to talk more for a second about this connection, this parallel between Purim and Yom Kippur. Okay, and we're going to hear a beautiful idea that's from the Karmana Rebbe, and it's cited in a great sefer known as the Lekach V'Alivuv. This is a sefer of the teachings of Rabbi Avram Shor. Rabbi Avram Shor is one of the great teachers of Hasidut in the world today. He lives in Brooklyn, New York. He has a large following in Brooklyn, New York, and his sfarim are called a Lekach V'Alivuv. And this is what Rabbi Avram Shor has to say about this custom that we're talking about of dressing up on Purim. And listen to this idea. Ra'iti b'sefer kedushat Aaron shemevi b'shem haRebbe HaKadosh miKarmana zechutai yagenuim. I saw an idea, says Rabbi Avram Shor, in the sefer kedushat Aaron, which is cited in the name of the Karmana Rebbe of blessed memory, may his merit be bestowed upon us. Davar nifla inyan mashe b'purim m'shanim amabushim. Okay, a beautiful, wondrous idea, interpretation of the idea in terms of why on Purim we change our garments, we switch our garments. Okay, v'aminag Yisrael mikarov v'shorsho b'gusha. We know that every custom of the Jewish people has its source and is rooted in something sacred. Now listen to how Rabbi Avraham Shor explains how putting on a costume or wearing something silly on Purim is actually rooted in something sacred. And listen to this idea. U'mivar ki yom ha-kippurim huzman she'echa mipayes l'chaveru. Listen to this. We know that Yom Kippur is a time where everyone tries to make good with their fellow, to come clean, to reconcile with anyone that we may have a disagreement or argument or be distant from, right? The whole idea of during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, preparing for Yom Kippur, where we go around, we ask people, are you mochel me? Do you give me mechila? Do you forgive me if I did anything to upset you or harm you in this past year, okay? And that's a very, very fundamental idea, says the Karmana Rebbe, of the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. Ki yesh livnei adam cheshbanot imahem. We know that every single one of us as people that we have, you know, we have tainas on, we have disagreements, we have grudges that we may have towards one another. V'lo kol yachol adam levater levakesh michila. And it's not always easy for us to either, if we know we've wronged someone, it's not always easy for us to seek out that person and ask them for mechila. And so too, if someone has wronged us, it's not always simple for us to let go of whatever hurt feelings and anger we may have for having been wronged in order to forgive them and move on. Now, but listen to what the Lekach HaLevi says here, okay? Ava bevo yom apurim, asher koach ha-mechila b'yom hazeh gadol me'od, ad she'amru chazal, ayom kippurim shehu kippurim, okay? But when the day of Purim comes, okay, where the power of forgiveness is so strong, okay, in that the Chazal or sages teach us in the Tikkuni Zohar that we just learned together, that Yom Kippur is called a day like Purim, the Ikar Inyan Shel Purim, who Hitkashrut Hayudim Zeh LaZeh, and the entire essence of Purim is the joining together, the interconnection of one Jew to each other. Okay, when Esther Malka is preparing to do everything she's going to do to ask both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Achashverosh for mechila for the Jewish people, for the salvation of the Jewish people, she instructs Mordechai to Leich Kenose Kol Yudim, go and gather together all the Jewish people. Okay, the whole essence of the story of Purim is Achdut, and the whole essence of the Yantav of Purim is Achdut, is unity. Okay. And if that's true, says the Kamen Rebbe, that's why we have the custom to change our clothes, to disguise ourselves, to put on a mask, to put on a silly hat, and put a mask on our face, in order that people may find ourselves in such a circumstance where either we are so hurt by someone that it's hard for us to forgive them, or we've wronged someone and we're so embarrassed by the fact that we've wronged them that it's hard for us to come forward and to forgive them. On this day of Purim, when we put on our masks, okay, it enables us to feel comfortable because our face is hidden, and therefore we have the capacity to ask for forgiveness from one another. Anyone who may have wronged us, or anyone whom we need to ask for forgiveness. This is, listen to the Rebbe's words, this is the sacred task of these days, of this entire month of Adar. To acquire for ourselves and hold on to the Mida, to the character trait of having a good eye, of seeing the good in one another, and to embrace the unity, okay, true unity, one for each other, each one for each other, with their fellow. This is a beautiful idea, but I want to suggest, based on this idea, let's take it a step further. This is the chiddush of the Rashash. The Rashash is Rabbi Shmuel Aaron Shore, that's me, okay? The Chiddush of the Rashash is that there's more to this idea. Not only by putting a mask on our face or a costume on our face, does it allow us to ask for forgiveness or to forgive those that it's difficult for us to look in the eye. I think many of us have a hard time looking ourselves in the eye. Many of us have a hard time forgiving ourselves, looking ourselves in the mirror and being able to let go for any mistakes we've made in the past year. We get crippled by guilt. It's hard for us to move forward. And on this awesome day of Purim, and throughout this entire month of Adar, when we prepare for Purim and we put on those proverbial masks and disguise ourselves, it allows ourselves to look in the mirror as well and begin to forgive ourselves as well. Okay. These are not the only examples, by the way, in terms of the story of Purim and Megillat Esther, of how changing a garment or disguising oneself serves as a conduit for salvation and blessings to come into the world. And perhaps the two most famous examples are two examples from Sefer Bereishit that we're all familiar with. And this is text number 10 on our sheets. Vatikach Rivka Bigdei Esav, okay? B'na HaGadol. Okay, we all know the story. Yaakov Avinu, okay? Is this Rivka disguises Yaakov Avinu. She dresses Yaakov Avinu up as Esav. She disguises Yaakov as Esav in order that Yitzchak should give the bracha of the Bechor to Yaakov and not to Esav. The bracha in Yeshua that's meant to come into the world for Klal Yisrael comes at that moment. The bracha and Yeshua that are meant to come into the world through Yaakov Avinu receiving the bracha instead of his brother Esav only happens because Yaakov disguises himself. What at face value seems as a devious act, as perhaps a terrible act of dishonesty, of disloyalty, is in its essence the source for Yeshua and bracha coming to the world. Okay, once again, someone, in this case Yaakov Avinu, donning clothing that seems completely inappropriate, disguising himself in a way that seems a little bit deceptive in order to enable those brachot and Yeshua to come into the world. So too, we also know the story of Yehuda and Tamar, okay? Yehuda doesn't want Tamar to marry his third son after the first two sons have passed away, okay? And without bearing any children. So Tamar disguises herself, okay, as a harlot and ultimately seduces Yehuda in order that the family line should continue. At first glance, it seems as a terrible act of deception, of inappropriate conduct. But it's that inappropriate garments that she wears, those inappropriate garments, that disguise that she wears, that very disguise that she wears, that enables the brachot and the continuance of the family line to indeed to proceed. Okay. So far, just to review, we've got four different ideas that we can associate, or three, maybe four different ideas that we can associate with why we disguise ourselves on Purim. The first idea, of course, as we said, is connected to the Big Day Kahuna, and that represents two different ideas. Number one, Mordechai donning those garments and being a restoration of Kavod HaTorah, and second, Esther Hamalka donning those garments in order to be the conduit to enable the Yeshua, the salvation of the Jewish people, to come into the world. And so too, says the Karmana Rebbe on Purim, that day where there's Yeshua coming into the world, the most important idea, in order for those Yeshua to come to fruition, we need the Jewish people to be in a mindset of Achdut, okay? Lech Kenos Kol Yudim. Esther instructs Mordechai, go gather together the entire Jewish people. Purim is all about Achdut. And therefore, says the Karmana Rebbe, since Purim is also connected to Yom Kippur, which is a day where our conduct is and our custom is to forgive one another, to strive to forgive one another. But that may be difficult for many of us, to look one another in the face, either because we're embarrassed by our conduct or because we're afraid that we're still too angry to let go of whatever disappointment and anger we have towards that other individual. By donning the mask, says the Kamana Rebbe, it allows us to look one another in the face and be able to forgive one another and come together in order to experience the Yeshuot that are meant to come to this world on this awesome day of Purim. And so too, by donning our mask, we are able to look ourselves in the mirror and be able to forgive ourselves and let go of any guilt we may be holding on to and move forward. And lastly, we said that there are two famous previous earlier examples of someone or an individual donning clothing that seemingly is completely inappropriate for them to wear, of disguising themselves, of engaging in a seemingly deceptive act of disguise in order to enable Yeshuot, salvation and brachot and blessings to come into the world. But I want to show one last example in the Megillah itself of an act of disguise, okay? That's maybe not clear at face value of reading this pasuk. This is text number 12, but based on something we learned a little bit earlier, we may actually come to understand this even better. Okay, so take a look. Text number 12. Okay, this is, again, we know that earlier in the story, Mordechai reported of a plot to threaten the life of Achashverosh, and that story was recorded in the annals, in the diaries of the kingdom of Shushan, and that's recalled now in the seventh chapter. Vayomer Charvona, Sinifnei HaMelech. Charvona, one of the Sarisim, the literal translation is a eunuch, one of the servants who served before the Melech. And once again, the word Melech here is not followed by the word Achashverosh. So as we learned earlier from the Megillah, there's a double entendre here. The Charvona, who is one of those serving before the king, and he said before the king, Gam hinei ha'eitz asher asah Haman leMordechai. Here, let's remember the gallows that Haman made for Mordechai. Asher diber tov al haMelech. The same Mordechai who spoke good about the king, who saved the king. Omei beveit Haman. It's standing in the house of Haman. Gavoa chamishim amah. It's 50 amah high. Vayomer haMelech, and the king. Again, nafal be'achashverosh. Says Tluhu Allah, that Haman should be hung on that very same gallows. Now, there's a piyut that we recite after we read the Megillah B'tzibur, and that piyut is called Shoshanat Yaakov, the Rose of Jacob. And in the Shoshanat Yaakov, there's a refrain that we're all familiar with, a verse that we're all familiar with, and that is Vagam Charvona Zachor Latov. And also Charvona is remembered for good. It's not, when we recall the story of Purim, says the Shoshana Yaakov, the Peter Shoshana Yaakov, we don't only recall Mordechai and Esther and the good that they did, we also recall Charvona and the good that he did. And the word Zachor Latov is very interesting because there's only one other individual in the annals of Chazal that is referred to with the moniker of Zachor Latov, that he's remembered for the good. And that individual is Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is, we're all familiar with the famous song, Eliyahu Navi Zachor Latov. Eliyahu HaNavi is remembered Latov, is remembered for all eternity as being good, for the good that he brings into the world and for being good. And now take a look at the Medrash Rabbah on text number 14. Ma'aseh Eliyahu Zachor Latov. What did Eliyahu, whose memory is good, what did he do? Nidma L'Charvona. He appeared, he disguised himself and appeared as Charvona. V'amar lo Adoni HaMelech, Gam hinei ha'eitz asher asah Haman leMordechai, etc. Who is this Charvona, this mysterious Charvona, who appears out of nowhere in the seventh chapter of Megillat Esther and says, let's hang Haman, let's complete the story and protect the Jewish people to ensure that Haman will never rise up against the Jewish people once again. Who is it that appears? Who's that mysterious figure? It's none other than Eliyahu HaNavi, disguised as someone else. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to bring goodness and salvation to the Jewish people, and he appears disguised as Charvona, says the Medrash. The Amshin of Rebbe brings this full circle. Text number 15. This is the Imrei Kodesh, the Rebbe of Amshin. Itah b'medrash Esther Rabba Shecharvona Hu Eliyahu HaNavi V'nidma Lehem L'Charvona. Okay, the Medrash that we just learned together, that Eliyahu appears disguised as Charvona. Okay, Yochol L'Faresh. This can be understood. The Be'emet Charvona Haya Nefesh Gavoa Rak Nitgagel L'Makom HaKlipo. Charvona, in his essence, was a very lofty soul, none other than the soul of Eliyahu HaNavi, who came back as a Gilgal in this role, in this realm of impurity, of serving in the royal court of Achashverosh. Okay, Aldachi Ita B'Sefer Tanya, in accordance with that which we learn in the Tanya, in the famous work of the first Rebbe of Chabad, Shner Zaman of Liadi, the Pa'amim Nalad Eitzel Ama Aretz Neshama Gavoah. That often we see an ordinary person is born with a very lofty soul. Charvona, and our Charvona, Zeh Shehaya Echa Min HaSarisim HaMishartim HaPnei HaMelech. Okay, our Charvona was one of these ordinary, the word Sarisim is a eunuch, an ordinary, not such an impressive individual who served before the king. What does it say? What does it mean that he was serving before the king? He wasn't just serving in Achashverosh's court. He was, in his essence, he was Eliyahu HaNavi, who's serving the ultimate king, the Melech Malchei HaMelechim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'im kein pa'al Eliyahu HaNavi, she'yomar etza, zeh litlot et haman, u'bazeh nitapach latov, and so doing, by Achashverosh disguising, by Eliyahu HaNavi disguising himself as Charvona, appearing as Charvona, coming back entering into Charvona, Charvona being a Gilgul of Eliyahu HaNavi, it enables him to be in the place where he can call the shots, so to speak, give the cue to hang Haman, to bring the final closure to the story of Purim and the salvation of Purim, to ensure that Haman will not ever be able to rise up and harm the Jewish people ever again. And therefore, when we say Charvona, Zachor L'Tov, we're not only saying that we recall Charvona, who's an ordinary person who rose up to the plate, rather it reminds us that Charvona is the Zachor L'Tov. And as our Chazal teach us, who is the Zachor L'Tov throughout the Gemara, throughout Chazal? Eliyahu HaNavi is called Zachor L'Tov. Eliyahu HaNavi disguises himself. Okay, once again depicted in the text of the Megillah itself, an act of disguise, serving as the conduit to bring salvation to the Jewish people and protection for the Jewish people. One last idea to bring us all together in terms of this day of Purim being about salvation, this day of Purim being connected to Yom Kippur. And we know that Achashverosh instructs Mordechai and Esther how to notify the Jewish people that they've been saved and that they may celebrate and that they may first act to protect themselves and then celebrate. Okay, v'atem kitfu al yudim katov b'neichem, and you shall write to all the Jews as is good in your eyes, as you see fit, b'shem ha-melech, in the name, once again, b'shem ha-melech, the double entendre, not only the name of the king, but also the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chitmu b'tabat ha-melech, and it should be sealed with the insignia, the signet ring of Hamelech. Once again, doesn't say Hamelech Achashverosh, the double entendre. that sealing, okay, that being sealed is being sealed not only by Achashverosh, but by whom? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is that? How does that sound familiar? What do we say on Yom Kippur? Okay, on Yom Kippur we say that there's a chatima. We say Gemar chatima tova, that we should be sealed for a good year. Okay, so too v'chitmu v'tabat amelch. So too here, the salvation of the Jewish people in the story of Purim has a chatima v'tabat amelch, not necessarily hamelch Achashverosh, but it's being sealed by the insignia of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Because something that's been written by in the name of the king and sealed with the insignia of the king can never, never be undone. Okay. And again, throughout that entire pasuk, the word Hamelech appears, not followed by the name Achashverosh, which obviously, if we take to heart everything we learned up till now, connotes that double entendre. That not only are we being saved in the here and now by Achashverosh and him being made aware of the plot to deceive and destroy the Jewish people, and that Esther Malka is one of those Jews, but also the Melech Malchei Melechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem who is the source, ultimately orchestrating everything, hidden behind the scenes, even though his name does not appear in the Megillah. Okay, even though his name is concealed. Ultimately, we learn behind the scene and see behind the scenes that ultimately it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's orchestrating and ensuring everything. And then the Netivot Shalom, the son of Merebi, who died in the year 2000, so he's a very, very contemporary Hasidic master, he brings this all together. Okay? The parallel between Purim and Yom Kippur, this idea of the insignia of the ring of the king. Listen to what the son of Merebi says. Listen to this idea. We had a day in the calendar year where we already had a chatima b'tabat hamelech, where there was already an inscription sealed by the insignia of hamelech, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that day was Yom Kippur. But there's another day in the year, says the son of Merebi. We see from all this that Purim is the only day in the year where a Jew can change any decree, even a decree that's already been sealed earlier by the king, the ultimate king of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, even if there's already been a decree in Shemayim that's been sealed on Yom Kippur, along comes Purim, which is connected ultimately to Yom Kippur. Okay? And we have the capacity, says the son of Merebi, to undo and transform every gezerah, even one that's already been sealed previously by the king, the Melech Malchei Melechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubazem yuchai Purim mikol ha-moedim Shabbatov yom tovim she'em bahem gileza. And that's what separates Purim, makes it unique amongst all the other festive days on the Jewish calendar, from Shabbat to Rosh Chodesh to Yom Tov, because they have this capacity. Ukidichtiv, as the pasuk that we just learned together says, Vayomer hamelch l'Esther b'mishteh ayayim, ashe l'teich v'inatan lach, umaba kashateich v'teyas, as the melech, the king, said to Esther, b'mishteh ayayim, on the day when we're having that suda with yayin, the Purim suda, anything you ask for shall be given to you, and any request you have shall come to fruition. Hamelech, who's the Melech that's being talked about in this pasuk? Hamelech hu malchus she'olam. The Melech is the king of the universe. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Omer la'hudi ha'olecha shechem v'shiru b'hasterim. Says to the Jewish people, to the Jew who's wandering in the dark and lost amongst all the confusion and hiddenness. Anything you ask for shall be given to you. Anything you request shall come to be. The Mishteh Ayayin, while we're sitting at the Mishteh Ayayin, while we're sitting at our Purim Suda, we have the capacity, we're given the gift to bring to fruition anything we ask for, and anything we need and anything we request. My friends, the awesome Yom Tov of Purim, that we tend to think of it as solely a day of just a fun and revelry, Purim is an incredible Yom Tov. Encrypted in the very story is the idea of the salvation of the Jewish people. Purim, much like Yom Kippur, is a day of transformation, an opportunity for us to transform ourselves, to experience salvation, Yeshuot. Miracles can come into our lives on this day. And for many of us, it's very difficult for us to embrace this idea, to think that we're deserving of miracles, to think that we're deserving of better. And what we learn from the very story of Purim and from the custom of dressing up on Purim is that in so doing, it enables us to let go of the guilt and let go of any lack of self-confidence that we may have and embrace the reality that on this awesome Yom Tov of Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this day to transform ourselves and Be'ezat Hashem to experience Yeshuot. Please God, my bracha for every single one of us as we don our silly costumes and disguise ourselves this coming Purim, to this awesome Yom Tov of Purim, that we indeed are able to take to heart everything we learned together and that we should be able to embrace this idea that our Purim masquerade is much more than just having simple fun. It symbolizes this everything we learned together today, the nature of the intrinsic nature of this day of Purim that parallels Yom Kippur, this day of forgiveness, this day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us and bestows Yeshuot upon us, this day of forgiving one another, this day of forgiving ourselves in order that we should be open to receiving all those brachot and Yeshuot that come into the world on this awesome day of Purim. Any questions on everything we spoke about?
I had a couple questions or comments.
Sure.
If I may. First of all, I thought that she was absolutely...
First of all,
my name is Rivka. Rivka.
Hi, Rivka.
Hi. First of all, I thought that she was absolutely fascinating. Sometimes we go into a Purim shir thinking we've heard the Purim story since we were, you know, in kindergarten, and we're like, all right, you know, I'll just be a refresher. There was so much chiddush in that. It was amazing. I really appreciated it. Two other things I wanted to ask you. When you talked at the very end about the wine, wasn't when Esther went to the king, I might be wrong, but wasn't that like Pesach time? So maybe the wine of the four cups
There are different Mamari Chazal in terms of the significance of the wine. And yes, that's correct. There are numerous Mamari Chazal that suggest this is Pesach. And that the wine is somehow connected to the Yeshuot of Geulat Mitzrayim. There are Mamari Chazal that suggest that. This is a different take. Okay.
Two other small questions. Who was I'm not remembering, even though I said I heard the Purim Megillah hundreds of times. Who was the person who was Esther's helper, who helped her, who went between her and Mordechai back and forth? Was that also Harbona, or that was someone else?
I don't think it was Harbona.
I think Hasach.
Yeah, it's another one of the
unknown, who some people say is Daniel, I think. Right.
Right. There are numerous Mamari Chazal, but what was interesting is the idea of even if it is Daniel, which is, again, these are all Gadatot. You can't take them necessarily as literal. That's why I said there's a double entendre to be read. But what's fascinating is that let's say it is Daniel. So once again, you have someone who's critical in the story, who's disguising himself, okay, in order to bring that Yeshua.
To facilitate
the Yeshua.
Okay. And one other question, the source that you brought down, Halekach, is that a relative of yours? You said also it was a relative.
Not enough. Thank you for asking. Our name before coming to Ellis Island was Cher. As a matter of fact, I still spell it in Hebrew, and everyone thinks we're Yemenite. They say Shire because we spell our name Shin Ayin Resh. It's a Yiddish name, Cher. And in Ellis Island, we got changed to Shore. Rabbi Avram Shore's name is spelled Shin Aleph Resh Resh. He's the son of Rabbi Gedalia Shore, who's a very famous, illustrious 20th century Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Avram Shore, and they're Levim. We're not Levim, so no, we're not related.
Okay, just thought. Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Any other questions?
I just missed something, kind of. When you said that Purim's a day that we can ask for anything, were you specifying only during the Seudah or the whole day?
No, the day. In other words, the idea of the Seudah represents representative of Purim, meaning just as in the Purim story, okay, the salvation of the Jewish people receiving through Esther, that which she needs, that which she requests, that which she wants, it happens on through that conduit of the Seudah. So too on the Yom Tov of Purim, we have a Seudah. It's one of the reasons why we have the Seudah, that it recalls that the nature of the whole story, that the essential place that wine banquet played in us receiving that which we need. So too this Yom Tov of Purim, which has central to it, one of the central mitzvot of the Yom Tov of Purim, is to have that similar wine celebration. We also can experience, we also should realize it's an opportunity for us to pour out our hearts and Bezat Hashem be given brachot and Yeshua.